Good evening. My name is LaVarne Williams. I am chair of the National Finance Committee of the Pacifica Foundation. We have convened this evening. Today is Thursday, May the 25th, 2006. And our meeting, at the time it begins, is 5:24 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. I'd like to welcome our members who are on the call. Our secretary is Casey McFall. If we can have Casey call the meeting, do the roll call, that would be terrific.
David Adelson?
Here.
Baruti Bediako?
Here.
Brian Edwards Tickert? Jane Gatewood? Patty Heffley?
Here.
Lonnie Hicks?
Here.
Ambrose Lane? Casey McFall is here. Sandra Rawline? Sandy Weinman? LaVarne Williams?
Present.
We've got present.
Brian? I think that was
Sorry.
The automatic generated message telling you I'm here.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Casey just called the rolls. So Brian Edwards Tickert is on board here.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Casey. I sent out the agenda. I seem to be having problems with my AOL this evening after I returned to my house, but we sent out the agenda. Would like to know if everyone had an opportunity to either receive it or look at it. Okay, I don't hear anyone who did not. So at this time, what I would like to do is for everyone to have an opportunity to look at the agenda, and if there are any changes, updates, revisions, and then we'll go into approval of the agenda. Should I read the agenda for
the
people
would be
on
helpful.
The call? Okay. There's the roll call and approval of agenda. Two, scheduling of next meeting. I'll get my calendar out here. Approval of minutes that were sent out by our secretary, Casey McFall. Review of I believe that should be April year-to-date financials. Would like an update on, since we're doing fundraising at this time, would like an update on station fundraising. Would like to look at the financial impact of motions before the PNB, since the PNB is scheduled for the beginning of next month, June the 1st through the 4th. I'm sorry, June the 2nd through the 4th. A financial update on board and meeting expenses, since the board meeting is upcoming. Would like a financial impact of staff communications with Pacifica attorneys. Would like to go over just briefly in terms of what we need to report to the PNB from the Finance Committee. Would like to look at new business, and then last, to adjourn.
LaVarne?
Yes, Dave.
Yeah, we've got to address how we're implementing or not implementing this motion we passed long ago calling for the financial impact statement when we do things.
Mm-hmm.
When I was chairing that meeting, it was really, really difficult to know how to handle those things, because we haven't been following any consistent practice. So is that discussion already a piece of this agenda? I'm not clear from the title.
Yes, the financial impact of motions before the PNB.
Okay, so
that's
about this.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not about specific motions. It's about our policy on
it. It encompasses all.
Great, thank you.
Sure.
LaVarne?
Yes, Casey.
I have two things. The first is when we're talking about the cost of the PNB meetings, I'd like to briefly discuss just governance costs in general.
Okay, great.
If you could just, it could be on that item. And then, I'm sorry, I'm on the 5 freeway going about 3 miles an hour. Did I hear you mention our budget process for next year?
No, I didn't. When I sent this out, I thought I'd gotten most of. No, I didn't. But we can talk about that when we talk about We'll just add there, maybe before we talk about the year-to-date financials, or do we want to talk about that after? Because
doesn't
I think
matter.
We really need an update on that. Okay, we'll add that just briefly to see where we are, then we can go into the year-to-date financials.
Thank you.
Sure. Are there any other revisions, updates, changes?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Lonnie.
Are we going to discuss national priorities at this meeting?
You know, I apologize to Greg. I received the when I came back to my house to get on my computer, my internet somehow was not connecting. So I didn't have an opportunity to send that out again. But we can talk about that, the budget priorities along with, like you said, with next year's budget. In terms of cases issue our agenda item that you'd like to add. So we can talk about that. Why don't we do that? Why don't we just combine those two and talk about that? Why don't we make it after the year-to-date financials? We'll do both of those. Is that okay? So, Lonnie, again, you wanted to discuss budget priorities?
I'll sort of go together, but yes, that would be
yes.
Nice.
Okay, so why don't we budget priorities plus in terms of an update and timeline of next year's budget. Okay, and so we'll make that number 4B after the year-to-date financials, 4A. Okay, other changes, updates? Okay, so for the agenda, what we've added after the review of April year-to-date financials, we'll do budget priorities update and update on the timeline for next year's budget. Is that correct? That we needed to do. Okay. Are there any other changes? Shall we move to approve the agenda?
Yes, please.
Thank you. So moved. Okay. Next, we'd like to look at the scheduling of the next meeting of the National Finance Committee. We were doing about the fourth Thursday of the month, so that would make it about June the 22nd. Does anyone have an alternative date?
If I look at hold on just a second. I'm trying to get over to the draft budget. So the NFC, okay, so we have to review the draft budgets in July, so it's not urgent. Okay.
Okay. If we look at, right, so that's due on the 30th. So do you want to move it maybe to the 29th in case we might have something before then, or just leave it on the 22nd?
No, I'm saying that the NFC is supposed to have done its thing with the budget.
Oh, just a second.
Is that right?
I'm sorry.
Right? It says July. I seem to recall we were supposed to do something in
June. 30. Can you hope? Could you guys continue to talk? I may have to go away for a second. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody? The version of the budget that got sent around in LaVarne's email today has the NFC reviewing the national office budget by between July 1st and the 31st. Is that really what it is?
I don't think that was the actual budget calendar.
I don't think so. I think we moved that time, didn't we?
I've got the original version that was sent out a while back, and
I sent out the correct version at one point. That's what I was looking for.
Oh, is that sort of different? Because July 1st to 31st, LSPs and NFC review draft station budgets. Yep.
Hmm.
The same to me.
Maybe that's it.
It's version C.
Version C, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know. That I couldn't tell you what version this is.
It's the one that says approved by NFC February 16th, 2006.
Hello, sorry. I'm sorry, I had to step away for a second. Had a minor emergency. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes? Okay, sorry, I had a minor emergency. I had to step away. So we were on scheduling of the meeting. So we had looked at the 22nd. Are there any? Do we have any alternatives to the 22nd?
That sounds good.
Okay, should we do 5 or 5:30?
Wait a sec. When is GRC? Oh, well, I guess it wouldn't matter. It's not.
That was the 30th of July.
Okay.
Okay, so we're looking at June the 22nd. Okay, should we go 5 or 5:30?
I'd like the 29th, if that works better, if I have more budgets by then.
Right, that's what I thought. excuse me. So the next meeting will be June the 29th. And the question again, 5 or 5:30? For East Coast, West Coast, which works best? 5?
I don't know.
Okay, should we stay with 5? Okay, 5 p.m. Okay, thank you very much. Mia, we have the minutes. Casey McFault sent out the minutes the night of the meeting, Thursday, May the 4th. Did everyone have an opportunity to look at them? Would like to move? Yes, please, Casey.
Two sets of minutes that haven't been approved.
Right, the prior one. Let me find my other. Okay. The May the 4th and the prior one is?
I don't know.
Okay, let me just find the prior. I believe it was. Okay. Sorry. May the 4th I haven't.
May the 4th or 3:20 was the
3:20?
One before.
4:20.
4:20, okay.
No, we didn't have a meeting, did we?
I can't, just a second.
We postponed the meeting from whatever it was to, we have minutes 3:20 and then I think May 4th.
Well, the ones for May 4th were sent out,
May 4th.
I mean, one for the one before that were sent out the same day as the meeting also. So... And if it wasn't, but I've got my calendar in the car. Hang on.
March 20th.
Yes, March 20th.
Okay, so has everyone had an opportunity to look at March the 20th and May 4th? Shall we move to approve March the 20th?
Move to approve.
Are there any objections? Okay, so the minutes for March the 20th are approved, and May 4th? Shall we move to approve May 4th minutes?
Move to approve May 4th.
Okay, are there any objections? Thank you. So the minutes for May 4th, 2006 also are approved. Thank you, Casey. You're doing a great job. Thanks for getting those out so timely the same day. Okay, next I'd like to go to looking at April year-to-date financials. Okay, Lonnie sent those out yesterday. First, he sent out a note to let us know that they were coming, and I believe I have the correct one here. Go ahead, Lonnie.
No, that would be May I sent out yesterday.
I'm sorry?
I thought I sent out May yesterday.
Yeah, May 22nd is the date on it. Man, we are really, things are going even faster and faster.
Right.
We're getting May now.
Right, you can't. It has to be April. You can't have May's numbers yet.
Yes, we do.
Heck with Great Plains.
I think we should be billing Great Plains to pay us.
Wait a minute. What do you have here?
Good. That's a lot of predict what's going to happen for the rest of the month.
That was May 22nd. That's great.
With today's verdict, I mean, I wouldn't really own up to something like that.
No comment. No, this is great. Thank you, Lonnie, for doing it. And I imagine it's a lot more work than...
It's a lot more work, so it's not easy. I did it because, the board comes up, it'll happen in June, and they'll ask about May. So I just worked at it and got it done.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. I downloaded a statement that has April 2006. You're saying that you have something out that says May 2006?
FY06 forecast year-to-date, May 22.
I'll forward it.
Okay, my internet is down. It's not. I can't connect. It's it's crazy. I don't know what's going on. But, yeah, do it anyway.
Okay.
So do I understand that what we're reviewing are forecasts, not actual statements?
Yeah, no, what we're doing is that the question arises with our server still down, and they're still working on it. What we did is we know the salaries. We know revenue for May because the station's produced the revenue. We know the salaries because we've paid the salaries. This is the end of the month, so we do our payroll around the 20th, 23rd of the month. So those are actual figures. So when you combine the revenue with the salaries, that's most of the expenses we for each month. We know any major assets that were purchased because we do some approval of those assets. So that leaves the line items, but many of the line items don't change from month to month. For example, payments in the programming area to Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio News don't change from month to month. The CPP revenue is amortized or accrued. Doesn't change from month to month. That leaves minor items like telephone that may have some variety, some volatility, but they don't change much. Our expenses are pretty much set. Then I talk to the general managers and I talk to the business managers to see if, say, in the month of May, they have any extraordinary expenses. Then I would add that into my calculations for that month. So, as I say, it's pretty accurate, within 1%, and I talk to people and make sure that I've got what they have. So it's usable, and it's going to be as accurate. It's going to be pretty accurate.
So when you say 1%, you're saying that the projections are within 1% of the actuals?
I'm saying that May is in 1% of what the actuals will be, and that means that the forecast will be within 1% too.
So basically it's as close to the audit numbers as you're going to get.
Yeah. And then I, you know, look back at the ones we've put out already, like April and March, and people are comparing it against their invoices. So the invoices, you know, we're pretty good. It's pretty close. So I have confidence in the numbers.
And can I ask a question about that? You've incorporated the so last month you gave us an estimate as well. So that whatever changed, whatever little changes there were, got updated and incorporated into this along the way. So either they're being corrected and made more accurate as we go along in a rolling fashion.
Yeah, to the extent I can get updates from, you know, business managers and GMs. You know, we spent more on this than we thought we would, and then I incorporate that in what I presented the following month.
Okay.
Did we want to start? I'm still working with the prior month.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Dave.
So you were looking at stations that are sort of behind and above, in front, and in your CFO report of where they're going to project their surplus deficit before depreciation, which is the bottom line in our statements. But really, it's kind of hard to track because some of the capital expenses and the bequests and some of the, like, extraordinary legal and things like that are all falling in that cash and capital section, right? So is that correct?
The bequests are in the revenue section. That is to say, if a station got a big gift, it goes into listener support or major donation.
Oh, really? So if I'm looking at the excess income line, that's what I look at, the line above cash and capital. If I'm looking at that and I see, for example, KPFA with $205,000 projected at the end of the year, in that $205,000 is this projected bequest?
Yes, correct.
And that, am I correct that that money is restricted in terms of our ability to use it? Like, we can't touch the principal, but we just get the interest on it?
And my notes, I point that out. While we have to book that particular gift, and one of them is restricted, the other is not, so we will see likely some cash. But in the one that's restricted, I have to book it as part of revenue, but it's not going to be cash. And I make a note in my CFO.
I see. So that 205 number in the excess income line above cash and capital includes a certain portion of money that's actually not available for use.
That's correct.
How much of that is not available for use?
It's going to be about $250,000. That's why I point out in my CFO report.
So in reality, KPFA, according to these numbers, is going to end with $45,000 less in revenue over the year than their actual operating expenses.
Yeah, they're going to have to dip into their savings. And that's what I'm pointing out, as I said, in that CFO report as well. Yes, you have to look at the cash implications, not just the...
And so what are the reasons for the shortfall?
At KPFA?
Yeah.
Well, you have a, you know, I can go through it systematically, and I want to get to the drives, because I think that I couple all of the issues in context of the drive. But to answer your question on KPFA, they had additional legal expenses that they didn't anticipate. And
but that's down in cash and capital, isn't it?
No, some of it, if you look up in their operating expense, you'll see that the operating expense for legal is $400,000.
Is how much?
$400,000.
Oh, okay. So it's up there. Okay.
It's up there, yeah.
Got it. Okay, well, that answers that question.
Yeah, legal. And then you, I really would like to just look at these financials in terms of what I see are the major impacts on our financial status.
But I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I don't understand when you're saying, like, we get a bequest. So if somebody says, I'm going to give you $500,000 over the next 10 years, and you're saying you have to book it, you're not booking it as a receivable. Are you putting $500,000 in listener income?
Yeah, the FASB rules require in accounting, FASB 116 and 117, that's the Newt Gingrich clause, the 1994.
I'm aware, but I mean that's why we can't function off projections.
Well, you have to modify those objections, those with additional information, and that's what I'm doing right now. I'm saying that it affects KPFA and WBAI, but other stations aren't affected. So I'm saying that for those two stations, be aware of two facts around revenue. One of their gifts is actually restricted, where the principal can't be touched, and they can only really draw interest and use the interest, and that amount is $250,000. So their cash will be less that amount when you look at their income statement. For WBAI, they had a gift of $100,000, but it was spread over 5 years, and so only $20,000 of it was usable in year one, which would be this year. And you have to keep in mind that $80,000 of their bottom line is not actual usable cash. So those two provisos I'm letting everybody know apply. That means that they'll have, of course, less cash than what would seem to be implied by income statement.
You just have a line that says restricted and unrestricted on the cash, do you not? I mean, I can't see it right now.
I would say, isn't it possible to put in another line item, which is, you know, expected cash or restricted or not yet, I don't know, but it really throws, I mean, I know that, you know, LSBs are getting information based on projections and are feeling real comfortable. And
those are the way accounting rules work. I wish I could drop a note, and I'm in my CFO report, I'm noting those exceptions for you. That's why I did it that way. I'm letting you know that there are two major provisos that you should be aware of. One of them is that even while they got the revenue on paper, they don't get the cash. And that's not all that unusual.
Lonnie, this is Brian.
I'm sorry, who? Rudy?
No, I just want to add a little footnote to the BAI situation. Even the $20,000 we can't spend, even though we have it in the bank because it's restricted for a building fund.
Yeah.
So even though it's there, it's still not available for operations.
I'm sorry, what is it restricted to? The building fund?
Yes.
Oh, so it's capital.
I have a question,
Patty?
After Brian.
I heard Patty. You said Brian, and then Dave.
Yeah.
Okay, Patty, please.
No,
Patty.
I didn't speak.
I'm sorry, Brian.
Thanks, Levon. I'm wondering if you know in our audit statements. They break out on the revenue line, temporarily restricted, permanently restricted, and unrestricted.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you could do the same in the income statements. It'd make them a lot easier to read in terms of how our cash position is changing.
Yeah, you know, actually the cash and capital statement was in the past, they wanted it to be shown there. But it's hard to show negative cash in the cash and capital section. But I could put it there. That's one option, showing it as negative, meaning that this cash is not, in fact, coming to us. That would
I mean breakout lines.
I mean, create another statement, which would have a temporarily restricted line. I could do that. I mean, let me look at it, Brian, and see how difficult that would be. Yes, that would be one way to do it. That would be how it would look on audit. But right now, we're not doing the audit. The auditors do that at the end of the year. But the suggestion, for those of you that don't know what we're referring to, is that in the income statement, where you had a situation where cash, a gift came in that was restricted, that is to say, gave you $1 million, but it said you couldn't use it. You can only use it on an interest-only basis, or you have to wait 5 years to use it, whatever the restriction might be, that we would show in a column called temporarily restricted. That is to say, here's the cash, but it's restricted in terms of its use and not included in the computations for the overall income statement, so people would be clear about what's going to be cash and what's not going to be cash. Let me look at that and see how difficult that would be. I don't imagine it is, and there aren't that many instances of it, so maybe it won't be that difficult to do. Yes, I will look at it.
And I just wanted to clarify, because there's a bunch of notes on the above the KPFA listener support line. It says you've included $250,000. That's the bequest we're expecting from the sale of a home?
That is, yes, 240. We don't know exactly what it will be, but that's the best estimate. 40% of the sale of a home, we don't know what the sale price will be.
And that's unrestricted.
Yeah, unrestricted.
And then it says $350 for Heath gift.
Yeah, that one's
the endowment gift.
Yeah, that one is restricted, yes.
And you're including both of them as listener support in the projection for the rest of this fiscal year?
Yes, correct.
I thought the policy was to put bequests under the major donors
donations line. Yeah, but in this case, the auditor puts it all on the listener support. CPP has it all on the listener support. That they don't make a distinction between major donors and listener support. We went over last finance committee. We just did the major donors out at the request of some of the fund development directors who were wanting to track major donors and have it show. But actually, that distinction doesn't exist for our major funders between major donors and listener support, all of it's listener support. It's to our advantage, also, to show the revenue as listener support since our CPB monies are tied to listener support dollars.
Well, I guess my question is, can we mark the point at which we're changing the bookkeeping practices then? Because I need to know when I have good comparables to prior year and when I don't. If we're changing
always been
how we're
that
classifying
way.
Bequests.
Yeah, but it's been that way, Brian. Some stations have broken the policy, but it's been that way.
What are we using the major donors line for? I mean, what is going there?
Yeah. Some stations are putting major donations in there because the fund development people want to track their efforts. But what happens is when it gets to the finalization, the auditors put it into listener support after we've had, a time after through the year, fund development people can see what their efforts have created, what fruit they've done. But it all ends up being listener support. The auditors make that adjustment every year.
I'm sorry, I'm still having a problem here because we've budgeted to have income on the major donor line.
Yeah.
And we have income in the projection on the major donor line. It sounds like you're telling me nothing should actually wind up on the major donor line.
In the end, that would be the case. I'm saying at the end of the year, the auditor does not recognize a major donor line and puts it all in listener support. It's there just for exposition.
Casey? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm confused also because then this isn't the end of the year. I mean, and, I know we had this discussion last time, and, I feel really strongly that, people that call in during fund drives and donate $1,000 aren't necessarily major donors. That's something that a development person cultivates and works on, and there's, you have to know what your return on investment is. But I guess the problem for me is that, two things. First of all, I can't look at these projections without breakout lines and know the real situation And I certainly don't know how to use these to budget when we don't have actuals and still don't know what the line items include.
I'm still waiting on the fact.
Lonnie?
Well, what's the question?
I think, can I kind of rephrase some of this also? I think there are a couple of things here. First, we just need to, as we talked about before, when we talked about getting together the finance people and some of the people from your staff, is that we just need to have a set of rules to understand what the numbers really mean, consistency across the chart of accounts. And I think that's what we're trying to get at here. In addition to the other issue of showing listener support and perhaps getting the 20% that we pay to the national staff, you know, if that's also included in that. And then, again, we're talking about this as endowment when it appears to be major donor income. And then I guess what we're saying is at the end of the fiscal year, we can move those to the appropriate categories. But at this point, in terms of forecasting, in terms of understanding the funds that are raised and fundraising on fund drives, and the amount that has come to us in these major gifts and endowments, we'd like to kind of see that. I mean, we have an understanding of what that is, and I believe that we'd kind of like to see this as a major donor. And again, perhaps we can meet at some point to get this consistency on the use of the chart of accounts so that we won't have this discussion each fiscal finance meeting.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable to me. But see, when I check with Lim about, was this a spontaneous major donor? Did it occur on the air? Was it someone she had cultivated over time? She said they were a longtime listener and had planned over the years to leave to KPFA these monies. Now, is that listener support? Is it just a spontaneous gift on the air? Is it a major donation? Now, the policy in place is that the person who is a longtime supporter of a station, that's listener support. These are listeners who support the station and maybe have done so over the years. The fact that it came as the end product of a major donation, that fits with the listener support scenario, fits with, as I say, our funders. Now, if we want to show it differently, which development people do, they say, well, we want to show that our cultivation of these people were listeners over the years. We want to be able to show what that has accomplished. So we're trying to please the fund development people. At the same time, we have to, of course, please the funders. So I think we can have a discussion. I'll come up with some a way in which perhaps we can do both. But either it's going to be, oh, everything that's over $500 or whatever number we choose goes into major donations, or it's all going to go in listener support. And the fund development people can come up with a separate report showing what the effort around major donations is. And that would be okay either way with me, but I think maybe we could look at it and see how best to have the fund development people who need to be able to show their efforts and our funders who are saying we don't recognize major donations, all of it's listener support.
This is Lauren McMaspig. I think that, you know, over time that Lim has been there for about 3 years, I think that there have been other development directors who have worked on cultivating major donors over the years, and I think that it can't just start with the most current development director, that a gift like that, you know, perhaps they attended some of the sessions in the past on a major donor or, you know, the Lou Hill, I think the fund that we have there. So you can't just say, oh, you know, it fell out of the sky today. No, I mean, just on the surface, Lonnie, I would definitely describe that as major donor income. But, you know, like I said, and like you said, need to get together and look at the chart of accounts, come to consistency on that, and in terms of how we allocate those buckets of income at the end of the year on the report, on the financial statements and on the reports at the end of the year, then we can do those things too. But, you know, on the surface, just looking at it in terms of how development directors, general managers have worked with the listener base over the years, I would kind of describe that as major donor myself, but whatever.
Well, actually, you know, there's a disadvantage to that. I won't go into it, but, you know, the major donor, you know, there's another incentive to have the major donor line for stations.
Mm-hmm.
That incentive is that there's no central service on the major donor line.
Well, I talked about that at the beginning. We understand that too, but then
well,
there's
you know, so
that,
I have,
but there, I mean, it's just kind of obvious, Lonnie, that that's what this would be in any case, such a large amount as that. And that's what I said initially when I spoke. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
But you know that list, a major donor has a budget too. So, but we need a policy. I think we do. But you know, each station will have a different attitude, and we need to come up. I'll come up with something. I'll come up with something that works, at least, I think. I have that discussion with the general managers and business managers, maybe the LSBs too. But I think that one way, that there are two or three ways to solve it. One of them is everything in listener support and be consistent with your funders. The second way to do it is to say, no, let's have the major fund development, the major donations be clearly marked. And so the fund development people will be happy. However, the implication of doing that is that it isn't going to be included in the central service charges, and in the end, toward the auditor will reverse it and put it all in listener support. And then it'll be reversed that way. The third way to do it is to have major gifts separated from major donations. Like, these are major gifts.
Absolutely.
To $300,000. And maybe what we can do is create a category for major gifts so that we can see the difference between a major donation, which is what is now in there, like $500, and one that's in a couple of $100,000, maybe a way to highlight that and show it in these statements so people can see what the major gifts are, separate from run-of-the-mill major donations, like $500 to $1,000. Do that,
okay.
Too.
Are there any other comments?
Yeah, I've been
one more question
for a while.
I'm sorry, Dave O'Brien. I'm sorry, Dave, what were you saying?
I've asked to be on the staff for a while.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like okay, Dave and then Brian.
Thanks. Several things. First, on that point of central services, since it is in the listener support line, is KPFA being charged central services on that
$250,000? Not only on the gift portion. Just on whatever cash they'll end up with. It's
okay.
The cash in the door that matters in that line.
So you mean the interest that it's going to generate?
Yeah, the interest.
Okay.
When and if they generate interest.
Okay. And just to remind, we had talked at some point about Brian brought it up, having an investment policy.
Yeah, we do need one.
You're
saying you levy interest income?
interest from a gift. If it's used in operations, that is to say, it's revenue against operations, yes. The gift. The gift is going to go into an investment account, so it won't be available.
So my second question had to do with the legal assessment, which is the, I'm seeing 343 there, and my impression was that there was, first of all, that's quite a bit more than I expected, and also I had expected some of the legal to be not all paid out by the end of this year. A portion was. I understand we can't discuss it in any detail on the call, but I was surprised at the size of that particular item.
Is reading from the consolidated?
I'm looking at the KPFA section. Hang on, and I'll get you the line number.
Yeah, I'm looking there too.
I am looking at
247.
Is it
247.
Yeah, that's 343,744. That's a lot bigger than I was expecting based on conversations we'd had. It says to me that there's more in there than what I'd expected in there, and that what I'd expected in there also seems all to be being paid out this year. So at some point we may need to have an executive session to discuss that particular thing. The last thing is just I just want to move that that we establish, make a motion that we establish a clear policy on the allocation of items into listener support versus major donations. And that policy be distributed to all LSBs.
Yeah, we can do that. I'll come up with something. I bet that's okay. Or we can get a work.
I'd like to. No, I think we're working grouped out, and that always takes too much time. I think the best way to do it is if you would make a proposal and just send it to the committee, and we can just deal with it as a committee. But I wanted to make it as a formal motion so it would be part of the record.
Okay, so...
Can I ask one question?
Let me just go to Brian. Brian, you want to go first?
No, let him slide in ahead of me.
Okay, go ahead, Baruti.
Yeah, would it be possible for us to do that before the budgets are put together for 06, 07? Is that too ambitious?
Yeah, we can do it. We can do it, Baruti.
Okay.
But if I could, is this my time we're doing now, or have I started my report?
At this point, we really didn't have the report on the agenda. We just wanted to, address some of the issues that we thought we can address those, and then we can just, and maybe some of the issues that are some of the items on the agenda include some of the items in your report.
Yeah, because I got some things I did want to share with the committee tonight that I'm feeling they're urgent, so I wanted to have them on the record.
About how many minutes would you need?
Well, how many did I get? I thought I had 40 minutes.
I'm sorry, there's someone in. Hello?
See?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think you have a motion on the floor.
Yes. Dave?
Yes.
You had
I made a motion.
Yes, and the motion?
The motion was that a policy, that we develop and approve a policy on the allocation of items into listener support vis-a-vis major donations, and that be distributed following approval to all LSBs.
Do you have that written? Casey, are you still driving?
I'm still driving, but I've got it.
Okay.
And the sense of it is that we'd like Lonnie to draft such a thing and bring it back to the committee, and then we'll send it on to the national.
Okay. Do we have a second on this motion? Need a second?
It doesn't need one. In committee.
Okay. All right. Are there any more discussion of the motion? Okay. Then there are no objections? Are there? Okay, then we approve the motion. Okay, and I'm sorry, Baruti, were you continuing on this motion or were you going to something else?
No, I was just seconding.
Okay, all right, great. Okay, Brian? Okay.
I think they've covered it. My one question would be, since you're booking that $350 in a restricted endowment gift on the same line as listener support, how are you going to be segregating it for the purposes of doing the levy? Are you going to be maintaining a separate accounting of what's levyable and not levyable within that line?
Yeah, when we get it, we don't have anything yet. So I'm not sure what it will actually be. When that money comes in, it will be segregated off into an investment account, as we do with other gifts.
Casey, please.
So I just want to make sure that I understand what you were saying, is that my understanding is that their central services are not charged on major donations, correct?
That's true. That's what we're doing now, Casey. We're not charging it on folks.
But you are charging central services on the interest earned on those major donations. Is that correct?
That interest is earned and bookable, yeah.
But you're charging a central service on that.
Well,
so,
the interest would be income, right?
Yes, but it was off of a major donation.
That's true, but it's revenue.
Yeah, but you're not charging. If it all came in, if you got a major donation of, I mean, right now the cutoff is $500. So if you got a major donation of $650 and your interest was 5 cents, I don't understand where the cutoff is. I mean, where's the policy that interest is directly from a major donation? It's not from listener support. I mean, I don't understand that. So for example, we make interest off of our savings account, and the money that goes into our savings account is mostly from listener support, but you're not charging central services on that interest, right?
That's true.
So it doesn't exist to me.
And the difference is that if you take that interest and use it for program, right? That,
right.
That way that endowment is written up. It's written up where you can use the interest for a specific project.
Okay, so central the way you determine whether or not you charge central services is the use of the money, not where the money came from.
In that case, yeah, you got the money, but you're using it for operations.
Well, I mean, I'd never heard that before. That I mean, because everything, all of our listener support, you know, a lot of that goes to program, but you're not charging central services on that.
Well, if that revenue is withdrawn from the special account in a given year, if it stays in that special account, there's no interest, there's no central services. But if they take the money out.
Yeah. But it's from a major donation. It's not from listener, regular old listener support.
Is Dave, may I be recognized?
For just a second. Lonnie, Casey had asked a question. Did you have a response, Lonnie?
Yeah, that's what I was just saying. That is, you have monies invested and you never use them in operations, then there's no central service charge. But if you take $100 million, say you've saved up, and you put it in your budget for the year, and that money came from, I don't know, an original listener, whether it be a major donor or it came in, whatever, and you're spending it on in ways that that donation, the donor intended, then it becomes part of the operational cost and revenue for a given year.
This is Dave.
Okay, Dave.
I'd like to move the committee create a policy that defines all sources of revenue that clearly delineates all sources of revenue that are subject to central services and all those that are excluded from it.
Okay.
And again, I'd like the mechanism to be for Lonnie to draft what he thinks is a good idea, and then we'll consider his proposal.
Okay, so that's a motion from Dave again on central services also. Did you get the language, Casey?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. So is there any more discussion on this? Are there any objections? Okay, so moved. Okay, so back to Lonnie, there's a couple of other things that you wanted to discuss. So about how many minutes did you need to do this?
Well, I see that in the proposed agenda, I had 40 minutes. Is that accurate or?
Well, the 40 minutes was really for the exchange between you and the members of the committee, but not just directly to do a report. But if you would like to do a report and address some specific items that you said we need to address, that would how many minutes do you need?
Just give me 20 minutes, and I'll do it.
What about, let's say, because the time is about 6:12. 10 and then questions of 10?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, the time is about 6:12, so we'll shoot for about 6:25.
Okay.
Okay.
I would ask that folks really refer to my CFO report. I think there's some important items there. Preface it by saying that when I do that report, what I'm doing is I'm trying to summarize some items that appear in the income statements, which are detailed, so that people can have some summaries to work from, and also give you my best thinking on some of the major impacts on the finances of the network. And I spend time on it. So I would ask that please look it over. A report. What I've in this report for May is I generally will give you a contrast between the May and the April forecast. And that May forecast does include projected revenue figures for the drives in May. And we did the same thing with February. First point to be made, that revenue for the network, in terms of that listener support item we were talking about, is dropping off. And it's a process that I've spoken to before. And we've been talking here a lot about what are the reasons, what can be done. It's, of course, a trend that we see in public and community radio in general, of happening across the country, so we're not special in that regard. But we do have to think about and we will need to look at the financial impact of the drop-off in the revenues that we're seeing from the drive. Let me go through in my report. But KPFA, the goal was $980,000. And we look like, best guess of the people there, they'll get to $890,000, a difference of $95,000. KPFK, they haven't done their drive yet, so we don't know. I'm assuming they'll make their goals. But if that changes, I'll be back and correct some numbers. KPFT, a goal of $340,000. And their best guess now is they'll get to $285,000, a difference of $55,000. WPFW, a goal of $487,000. You know, I think on the last drive they made $518,000, but their goal is a lot less, $487,000. Their best guess of where they'll end up is $412,000, a difference of $74,000. That's new. WPFW has always made drives and always a little bit more. These are new trends. They're asking, am I ringing the alarm bell? I'm not ringing the alarm bell, but I am not ringing the, I'm ringing a bell. This is serious. And we got 15 years of financial history with Pacifica. So there's not a mystery about whether these are unusual numbers or up or down. We know what our history has been. These are down. And I haven't seen, you know, not with this, the February drive mixed with this May drive. To finish up, WBAI, goal, $950,000. Best guess, they will reach $809,000. Difference, $141,000. People are concerned out there. Talking to the GMs or talking to the business managers, in my conversations with them, people are concerned about it. So we're in a situation in Pacifica where the trends that we have bucked in community radio, which is to say, while other stations and other community radio entities have seen their revenue impacted or frozen or even on half the stations in community radio have deficits, we have bucked it over the years. But now it seems we're caught up in that same trend. Aside from issues of what's going on and why, and I won't get into it, but I will state what I've stated before. It seems to me from this data and other data I look at, people I talk to, Pacifica has been driven by three factors in these on-air drives. One is talent. People are tuning into us because they become attached to specific personalities. Second factor at work in on-air drives is premium. People sometimes will wait until the last week because they're looking for specific popular premiums. And the third one is events. That our revenue spikes occur at specific events. They are easy to see by looking at the data. Wars, upheaval in the country, big national election, those kind of things drive us. Indictment, someone said. Okay. So those are the three. So what to do? I think we need to have a serious discussion around the financial drivers in Pacifica and the trends that we are seeing. I have a number of ideas about where we need to go, but you all know those ideas. You all know some of them, but I think we need to dust off some of them and look at them seriously because we face two problems now, and I'll end with this. And if we look at September 30th, which is the end of this fiscal, we will miss revenue targets and listener support and otherwise by $400,000. That is an immediate problem. That is not something that's going to be, you know, sort of gradually happen on September 30th. This is the last drive. The rest of the drives are summer drives. They don't bring in nearly as much revenue. So if we are short $400,000 as of the end of the drives, what do we do? That's not paper money. That means that the station will be going into the new fiscal, $400,000 short. That means some of them will have to go into savings, and some of them will have to assume they're going to try to raise the money against the new drive in October. They'll go into short. Some of them will not have cash because not having cash is not having cash.
Lonnie, and we may have. Clarify one thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. But in your report, you show the end-of-year variance of what I assume to be the bottom line of $33,000. So even if we include in that the fact that there was this bequest, I don't understand how we're $400,000 short.
Well, if you look at the listener support line, you can see that's where I'm referring to that line. Our listeners, our audience support is not close to what we budgeted, short by that $400,000.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, why is the bottom line, you ask, only 33,000 negative? That's a good question. Well, the reason is that the reason is that the fall off in list of support is offset by other factors, and those other include a number of items. But that is low. We only
hold on. Could somebody stop rustling paper or mute yourself with pound pound one?
Or just hit on your own phone. Thank you.
Well, Dave, your question was why is it then you only got 33,000 negative? Why isn't it 400,000 negative, for example? Well part of the reason
is that
we budgeted low. We only budgeted 919,000 as a surplus. As I'm fond of saying, we need 1.5 million. So it got absorbed by having a low budgeted number, that 919 versus the 1.5 I recommend. So it made us look better than we actually are because we under-budgeted. And that under-budgeting will carry over to next fiscal and impact what we can reasonably project as revenue next year. For example, if we miss revenue targets this year on listener support, how much is it reasonable, prudent to budget, you know, in revenue next year? We have had policy in the past where we say, well, if we miss target in year one, we should only budget revenue of 90%. 95% in year two, which would be prudent, and the assumption being perhaps we are going to see and so we not plan on having the same or even more revenue. So that may be what we're facing. So what to do? I've said already, but I think there are many things we need to look at, and we need to spend time on the finances of the network and put our heads together. Anyway, we will have to deal with it one way or another. If one station's okay and two are not, then we all will be impacted.
Lenny? Hello?
Yes. I ended it right there. But I'm just saying that perhaps sometime at this board meeting we can get some discussion. I will bring some ideas that we are tossing around here. That's what we have tossed around. And I put them in my CFO report, three or four different ways to go. I put them in my CFO report in general terms. And finally, we have a conundrum. The conundrum is that even as we look at reduced revenue and even as we looked at ways to reduce expenses, my recommendation is going to be that we focus, nonetheless, even though in a scarcity environment it's very easy for people to start protecting their own and fiscal cannibalism, that we still must not lose sight of identifying revenue-producing activities, because that is one of the ways out. We must not fail to invest in our future and not just hunker down and do nothing and cut expenses, because sometimes the expenses you cut is the revenue of the future that you're cutting.
Yep.
So we're going to have to do both. We're going to have to look at ways to save money. The budget process is 3 weeks away from me. Either these budgets will balance or they will not. And if they don't, then you know, what are our choices? Do you bring deficit budgets to the board? Do you go and identify places to reduce expenses? You know the choices. It's not rocket science. You do increase revenue, reduce expenses, you do both, or you do some third thing. And I look at all three possibilities. We reorganize ourselves so that we're sustainable. We identify new sources of revenue and at the same time reduce expenses where that's feasible and can do it without harming our mission or harming vital aspects of what we value in the network. Anyway, that's the end of my report.
Casey, please.
Thank you, Lonnie. Casey?
Lonnie, I share your concern about shortfalls in budget and income. And part of what I'm worried about is that, as I mentioned earlier, I think there's kind of a false sense of security that some people are feeling. And I kind of feel that some of that comes from the way we're presenting information, both in words and in numbers. For example, I'll just use KPFK as an example because that's, you know, what I'm most familiar with is, you know, we say all the time that you know, our fund drives met goal or we went over goal. But we have a budget with listener income of $3.1 million. We have three fund drives for the year, but our goal is $950,000. So our goal, well, we may have gone over that goal, it doesn't meet budget. Mm-hmm. So people hear, oh, we went over budget for fund drive, we're going to have tons of money. The other thing that they hear is we had a $1 million fund drive. But the fact is that our last fund drive, as of today, we've ended up with a 74% fulfillment rate. So that $1 million fund drive is really $740,000. Now, three of those compared to a $3.1 million budget, you know, is frightening to me. But part of it is the way things are presented